Hello everyone. Welcome to today's podcast where we're going to go over meiosis and sexual life cycles. So for our first topic today, I'm going to be discussing about how we actually pass on this genetic information to our offspring. So parents usually pass these in the form of genes. And also the nucleotides, as well as DNA, of course, which are the A's, T's, C's, and G's in that particular organism. So we reproduce in two different ways, through asexual reproduction and sexual reproduction. So the key difference between these two is that asexual reproduction is only with one sole parent. And they donate the genes, whereas in sexual reproduction, we have two parents. And another difference would be that the offspring are the same for asexual reproduction, and the offspring are different for sexual reproduction. So we have two types of cells. We have body cells, and then we have sex cells or gametes. So another word for body cell is somatic cells, which are basically everything in our body, like skin cells, eye cells, and they're everything except the sex cells, except the sperm and the egg. And these somatic cells are diploid, and that meaning that they have two copies of each chromosome, so one from mom, one from dad. And then how we display a person's chromosomes would be through a karyotype, where the homologous chromosomes, which means that they're similar in nature, so they one comes from the parent, mom, the dad, and they're lined up in like size order. And then the first 22 pairs of chromosomes are actually called autosomes, which they're the non-sex chromosomes, whereas the sex chromosomes, which actually determine whether the individual is a male or a female, based on if it's an X or Y chromosome, they're called sex chromosomes. And then, as I mentioned before, we have another type of cell, which is called they're called gametes, either egg or sperm. These are haploid, meaning there's only one copy of the chromosome. And whenever these two haploid gametes, so if a sperm and an egg come together through fertilization, they form a diploid zygote. And now I'm going to go over the process of meiosis. It's actually quite similar to mitosis, believe it or not. It goes through PMAT, which is prophase, metaphase, anaphase, and telophase, but two times. And so we have meiosis one and then we have meiosis two. So we have two cellular divisions. In meiosis one, we have the homologous chromosomes lined with each other and they separate and make two daughter cells and then they divide again and they make four in meiosis two. So the first step would be in prophase where crossing over occurs, where two homologous chromosomes, they come together, they exchange genetic information, and this actually, in fact, helps increase genetic diversity. And you'll have the paternal and maternal chromosomes, they're exchanging information, and these DNA are, or these chromosomes are called recombinant chromosomes, which means they have a mix of both paternal and maternal. And then we have metaphase, where we have the homologous pairs of chromosomes. They line up at the equator, similar to mitosis. And these homologous chromosomes are called a tetrad because we have two chromosomes and they both have two chromatids, which so, side note, in order to determine like how many chromosomes there are, you look at the number of centromeres, whereas for chromatids, they are just like like the halves of the chromosome material. And as I was saying, they line up in the equator, and that's basically metaphase one. And then we have anaphase one, wherever the homologous chromosomes, they're actually separating. And then of course, telophase happens where the nuclear envelope reforms, and it's basically similar to mitosis. And then we're left with two haploid cells with the replicated chromosomes. And then we go on to meiosis two, where we have prophase again, which is n not really something special. It's basically where the DNA condenses, and it's similar to mitosis. But a key thing to note is that crossing over doesn't occur. And then we move on to metaphase two, where instead of the homologous chromosomes pairing up in the equator, we have the actual individual chromosomes. And then instead of the each chromosome separating, we actually have the individual sister chromatids separating during anaphase two. And then we do cytokinesis, of course, and then we're left with four haploid cells with unreplicated chromosomes, each made up of a single chromatid. So some key differences between mitosis and meiosis is that mitosis is done in order to produce body cells, whereas meiosis is used to produce gametes. And mitosis has one replication, so does meiosis. But the key difference between these two is that mitosis has only one division, whereas meiosis has two divisions, and it makes four daughter cells in comparison to the two daughter cells that mitosis makes. And so the three things that help promote this idea of genetic variation, where the offspring is sort of different, which explains why even though your sister or brother were from the same parent, you both don't look alike. And there's three characteristics. So we have independent assortment is basically when the homologous chromosomes are basically aligning and lining up with each other randomly. And there's like a 50-50% chance that you might get a paternal chromosome and 50-50 that you might get a maternal chromosome. And then, of course, as I mentioned before, we have the crossing over process, which results in recombinant chromosomes. And then we have the fertilization, random fertilization process, where the sperm and the egg fuse with each other, which leads to even more variation. So that's basically a general overview of all the slides that I'm looking at right now. I basically gave a in-depth and overview, and I hope you guys really found this useful, and this really helped me revise all the concepts as well. And yeah, thank you all for listening, and hope you all tune for another session next time.